Could things be getting back to normal in Connecticut soon? It seems like the state has been on the fast track to reopening, with various restrictions being lifted over the past few weeks, and now even more people will soon be eligible for the vaccine. All adults in the state who want the shot will be able to schedule an appointment by April 5th.
Pretty soon, it's going to be less a question of the supply of vaccine, more a question of getting people to stand up and realize it's the right thing to do for their family.
Lamont says residents ages 45 to 54 can sign up to receive the vaccine beginning today. Connecticut residents ages 16 to 44 can sign up almost a month earlier than initially planned. Lamont says he'll work with providers and state agencies to prioritize shots for high-risk people that are within those age groups. The decision comes after President Joe Biden told states that everyone should be allowed to receive the vaccine starting on May 1st. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Coming up, a new study says at-home testing for COVID-19 could save thousands of lives, a rally in Suffolk over the county's police reform plans, and later, advocates say the pandemic is to blame for decreased enrollment for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. I'm Sabrina Garone. Over 15,000 lives could be saved if every household in America got a free COVID-19 home testing kit. That's according to a study from Yale. WSHU's Davis Dunovan reports.
David Paul Thiel is a professor with the Yale School of Public Health. He says it would cost about $68 per person, what he calls a justifiable cost, to mail every American household a package of COVID-19 antigen tests and ask them to use them weekly.
The technology exists. You can buy exactly the kind of test we're talking about in grocery stores right now in Germany. Evidence from Europe suggests that, in fact, antigen testing really can take a bite out of the epidemic.
For their study, Paul Thiel says his team tried to incorporate objections from skeptics who've raised concerns about the performance of the tests, the cost, and the efficacy.
Basically, to lean really heavily on the scales to bias the evaluation against our own findings. We assumed that as many as 75% of the tests that would get mailed out would go straight into the garbage. People wouldn't even use them.
Even so, the report still finds a hypothetical home testing mailer would prevent millions of COVID-19 cases and would complement the current push for vaccination.
The better a job we do testing, the less work we're going to give the vaccine to have to do, and the better it's going to work.
Paul Thiel says antigen tests may not diagnose infection as accurately as PCR tests, but he says it's the preferred test for telling if someone is actually contagious. Davis Dunovan, WSHU News.
On Long Island, community groups rallied outside of Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone's office today to call on lawmakers to adopt the so-called People's Plan for police reform. WSHU's J.D. Allen reports they want reforms included in a plan that's due to the state in April.
The People's Plan was drafted by community task forces and advocacy groups. It's separate from the version Ballone submitted to lawmakers last week. Jackie Burbridge is with the Long Island Black Alliance. She wants an end to pretextual stops when an officer pulls someone over and then tries to investigate a more serious allegation.
These interactions do place the community members in the position of vulnerability. It's not that people are being brutalized because cops see threats. They don't see threats in our community. They see prey. And what we need is police reform that's actually going to address that.
Burbridge also wants no-knock warrants eliminated and police removed from schools. Suffolk Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart has acknowledged some policies have led to unequal policing of communities of color. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
Coming up, the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund sees a significant drop-off in enrollment, but first headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Looking to get the COVID vaccine? Here's the latest on how you can do that. New Yorkers 60 and over and government and nonprofit workers are eligible for the vaccine. Appointments can be made online with the Am I Eligible app and by phone at 833-697-4829. As of today, Connecticut residents ages 45 to 54 are now eligible for the vaccine. That's along with teachers and child care providers. Schedule an appointment online at ct.gov/COVID vaccine or by phone at 877-918-2224. The union that represents 500 Long Island Railroad train operators has filed for federal mediation during a potential contract impasse. The Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen applied to the National Mediation Board for assistance in negotiating a new contract with the LIRR. The union chairman says the decision to seek mediation was due to a comment by the MTA CFO, who suggested some union workers may have to forego future raises. The MTA chairman says the transit agency will be able to implement all negotiated wage increases and contract negotiations after the MTA receives $6.5 billion in funding from the coronavirus relief package. Multifamily housing developments built within the past decade on Long Island have not caused a significant increase in school enrollment. That's according to a new study released by the Long Island Regional Planning Council. The report found that Farmingdale, Huntington, and Patchogue Medford school districts saw declines in enrollment despite new residential projects in the area. The study's author says that the study debunks a common myth among opponents to multifamily housing that new projects overwhelm school districts with new students. A federal program that's in place to cover the medical bills of first responders and survivors of the September 11th terrorist attacks saw a sharp drop-off in claims during the pandemic. That's according to an annual report by the U.S. Department of Justice. WSHU's J.D. Allen reports.
Personal injury claims to the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund to cover the costs of 9/11-related diseases were cut by nearly half to 7,000 last year, the lowest year since 2016. Advocates for 9/11 survivors say they're almost certain COVID-19 was the cause. Attorney Michael Barish represents thousands of 9/11 first responders and survivors. He says another problem is that the tens of thousands of office workers, teachers, students, and downtown residents who are near ground zero may not be aware that they are eligible.
We were breathing the same toxic dust. We're getting the same illnesses. We're dying from the same illnesses.
Barish says only 7% of these survivors have filed a claim, while 80% of first responders have applied. Rolando Vesquera applied last August for the death of his wife, Diana. She worked a few blocks away from Ground Zero and had stomach cancer.
I could see how my kids are just knowing that, you know, things are going to get better for them. And that's all I really care about, just my girls, just making sure that their future is, you know, secure.
Vesquera is one of 517 deceased claims last year, the lowest number in the past 5 years. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.